team, and my name is Greg Esser. This is Hot Air. You've tuned in to the first episode of the year. I have the distinct pleasure this week of being alongside Jonathan Neely, former Truck Stop captain, former Breeze player, took a year hiatus, and he's back again for 2016 with a stellar crop of Breeze players. And I'm going to grill him today. We got some tough questions here. You know, how you feeling ahead of this? You need to stretch out a little bit?
First podcast, like, I think I'm ready to bring it.
I think you're going to set a high bar. Yeah. I don't know if I'll be able to get any guests after you.
The reasoning behind that, you know, we won't know, but that could be a result of this, yes.
Yeah, okay. So, how's it going? You have any words you want to start off with here? Actually, here's what I'll tell you. There's a house rule for the Hot Air podcast.
Uh-huh.
And that is, you know, we've got a team, you know very well, the Breeze, and I know in the huddles there's a lot of puns. I want you to see if we can work in, you know, a little bit of a wind pun, you know, that's going to play here heavily on the podcast. You know, is there a player on the team that has a lot of gusto?
And this needs to be, like, family appropriate, of course.
I mean, I think we could put a parental advisory on this.
Sure. Let's breeze through this intro and keep going. Don't count that.
It was low hanging fruit, but I mean,
you got to eat.
I'm in. I'm warmed up.
Right.
So having said that, I'm gonna jump right in. I'm warm.
Sure thing, man.
And so the first question I'll ask you, and I think I hope this is maybe the easiest question I ask you, as I hinted at, they're getting harder.
Okay.
Who is Jonathan Neely? You know, where did this guy come from? Where did he learn ultimate?
Uh-huh.
Who is this? I don't know. I'm gonna guess 16-letter construct. How many letters are in your name?
Yeah, Jonathan has 8, and Neely has 6. And when you do the math, that's 14.
Yeah, and I think I just had 16. So hey, two close. Over. But I mean, I just jumped right into it.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks for having me. This is exciting. I like podcasts a lot, and it's cool to be joining one.
Because you've got a little bit of a journalist background yourself.
Yeah, I work as an editor. That's my full-time day job, and I've always been very interested in media and in journalism, so it's always cool to be on the back end of that.
So back to the main question then. How did you get your start? How did you get to this table today?
Yeah, well, so I grew up in Mechanicsville, Virginia. That's outside of Richmond. I moved to Seattle when I was 14 years old and went to a high school called the Northwest School. And I did not know that I was stepping into a powerhouse of ultimate. Generally, like, back in the day, that was a school that sent, you know, 4 or 5 boys and 4 or 5 girls to the world's team every 2 years. And even now, like on the club circuit, there's a ton of players that I see that, you know, I used to sit in class with and be in the halls with. And so I got exposed to ultimate there and learned to throw in gym class. It took me like all of freshman year to learn how to throw a flick. And my most vivid memory of that process really is getting hit on the nose by one on the west court, on the basketball court, and just bleeding everywhere for like an hour. So yeah, high school, like there was a
ton. Since then, you've been catching them more.
Trying to, yeah. Ton of ultimate in high school and really didn't play all that much. I played on the like C team, and we had enough teams to have a C team. I just wanted to take it casual. I wasn't all that captivated by the game, but I loved to throw and stopped playing when I dislocated my knee as a 10th grader, and that kind of pushed me away from the game for a bit. I traveled the next year. I had a job after school senior year. And then I moved back east to go to college at University of Virginia and had a roommate that was like kind of, we were sitting around the first few days of school and Ben was like, you know, does anybody here play Ultimate Frisbee? Anybody want to throw a Frisbee? And I'm not sure what motivated him to ask that question because he was not like a Frisbee enthusiast, but I was like, you know, yes, I do know how to throw a Frisbee and I'm down and I'll go outside and throw with you and we like met some dudes at the student activities fair for first years. I said I would go out and play. You know, like I knew how to play. I wanted something to do. I liked moving around. I played soccer in high school and, you know, wasn't playing soccer in college. And I said, you know, I'll go out for a couple weeks and then just ditch this when I find something better to do. And I've yet to find anything better to do.
So that's the very humble beginnings. I mean, I'll say this very maybe offensive potentially comparison, but you know, much in the way that uh, a a communist dictator always says that they come from these very humble beginnings and have risen to the top, the elite. I feel like you've pitched a very humble beginnings of, hey, we decided to throw around one day in the dorm room, and then I became, you know, such a phenomenal player in college and club and all these things. You're the communist dictator story of Ultimate Frisbee.
We talked before this podcast about not discussing my plans for world domination. this is a serious breach of trust.
I don't recall. one thing that I know about you and your formative, maybe it's more recent fascination, but we both are very fascinated by the sport of Galtman.
Yeah.
You want to key the world into what Galtman is and what role it's played in your development?
Yeah. I'm playing Ultimate just to kind of like stay in shape for my Galtman career, and once Galtman like blows up as a professional thing, I hope that Don considers just transitioning this team to be the DC Breeze, but a Ultimate team.
Yeah. The same way that you replace like the front letters of Ultimate or add the G, I guess it wouldn't be the Breeze anymore, it would be the Grease.
That's cool. The Grease.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. If we're playing Ultimate, I'm cool with it. Yeah, Ultimate, I love it. It's a game, you know, for anyone who hasn't played, it's like... It's another disc sport. You use a disc, and it's sort of like a half-court basketball version of Ultimate. You have a vertical hoop that runs about 11 feet off the ground and about, 15 feet wide?
Sounds about right.
And the point is to throw it through the hoop to somebody standing in a crease that's marked off by cones behind the hoop, and that's how you score. And similar to Ultimate, you can't run with the disc. There's a stall count. There's a whole lot of overlap. There's a reason a lot of Ultimate players play it. But the angles, the pace, the throws are all just a little bit different, and it's a package that really I just really enjoy. I think it's a really fun game. It's a total blast.
So what I've seen of you playing Ultimate is just a really active guy in the backfield, lots of shortcuts, willing to put less traditional throws that find their target. Uh-huh. Do you think that's attributable in any way to kind of a lot of time playing Ultimate?
I think that my Ultimate game certainly was formed before my Ultimate game because I played Ultimate for longer. I like Galti because I get to practice things that I think work well in the Ultimate field that maybe some players or some teams don't think to do. I like a style where you can kind of constantly be pushing to move the disc forward or, you know, constantly looking to take what to some people might seem like an easy pass that isn't worth taking because, you know, I like to, like, quickly move the disc so that there's a different angle of attack. You know, I also am trying to play Galti to force myself to move the disc quickly. Sometimes I think I fall into that trap of, like, move the disc quickly to me, and then I'm going to survey things, which we all do, but definitely, like, pushing myself to up the tempo and push the pace whether I've got the disc in my hands or not.
Cool.
Yeah.
So they've maybe, I'm unfairly crediting Galtman, but they sometimes developed a little bit symbiotically.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I'll say, I think there's a lot of, there's a lot of players out there that I really respect and like to emulate and styles, that do maybe resemble a Galti style, you know, that are not like a classic, like East Coast Ultimate. In my mind, the classic East Coast Ultimate is like a vertical stack with handlers that hold the disc for a little while, looking for big, fast cutters in big, giant lanes. And I prefer a style of Ultimate that that kind of like quickly moves it around to find holes in the defense proactively, rather than sort of like putting one person on an island and letting them chip away. I don't think either is inherently superior, but I can certainly see where you're going with like I prefer a style of Ultimate that's looking to change the angle of attack by moving the disc, not just, you know, up the foreside.
Yeah, so that's a very interesting thought that I think you just opened up. I think something that I've thought about many times and never fully expressed it in more, maybe because I've never had someone like you sitting in front of me to talk about. So I'm going to ask you, you know, there's regional styles, maybe this West Coast, this East Coast dynamic. Do you think that there is a DC style of Ultimate? Do you think that there are other cities that you could characterize by, you know, a facet or two of their game, or you think it's very blended at this point with so much movement of the players?
No, I don't think it's blended. I mean, yes, it's blended, but I don't think it's not discernible. I think it's easy to spot. It's funny. thinking about the DC style, that is a harder question to answer than like another city.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's the kind of thing where like you don't notice changes in yourself, or it's harder to describe yourself or, you know, diagnose an issue with your own life than it is to look at something else that you've got a bit more of an objective look at. But like, yeah, you know, the double wide and ultimate that comes out of Texas generally relies on very long swings to not just isolated downfield cutters, but isolated dump cutters that and kind of like a, you picture a big pendulum that moves across the entire width of the field. And it's a little bit of a trope at this point because they've got humongous cutters that use giant lanes effectively. But like Sockeye and Seattle, the ADL, that's the Cascades, like they're known for what people will deem as small ball, like very quick passes,
short,
fast. Boston still plays sort of like that East Coast style that I was describing. Toronto, Canadians play ultimate weird, man. They do cool stuff that just is not something that most teams do. And I do think that teams learn from each other, guys learn from each other, the game is constantly evolving because you see different cities doing it differently. But I think what can be kind of neat, you see sometimes teams really develop throwing styles. You find the best thrower on that team, like who's the guy who's been the best thrower in the city for a few years, and a lot of throwers throw like him.
Yeah.
A lot of guys in San Francisco throw like Ashlyn Joy. A lot of guys, the smaller players in Seattle, fake and move like Danny Karlinski. And, you know, here we've got Allen, who is a little different because he's a lefty, but I think that you see little things with our guys where guys, myself included, like the pacing of how they pivot, how they look upfield sort of resembles Allen. It all filters down, which I think is pretty neat.
Sure, or maybe they're learning their lefty, you know, offhand to resemble Allen, in which case we'll all be phenomenal players in a very short time.
I think that balance and symmetry in the body are very important, and I wouldn't discount learning to throw with your offhand.
That's a good recommendation, and I'm happy we had that kind of geographical tour de force with you, because I think that's an interesting facet of our game and our country. And
I mean, I love looking at the game as you know, a living, breathing body, and I like that about sports in general. I remember one time hearing an anecdote about a really high level, like long time basketball coach, and he wasn't like an NBA coach. He coached like high school prospects into college, and he talked about how you could put a kid in front of him that he had no idea where they were from, but he could watch them shoot and take a pretty accurate guess at where they learned to play.
Wow.
And I think throwing's got to be the same way. I think the way that humans in general learn from each other, like you're definitely going to get trends, and there's going to be offshoots, and that's a really fascinating and like beautiful part of watching sports develop.
Huh. I'm gonna change topics, I think, pretty drastically here, because I want to get back to the Breeze and kind of the off season that the Breeze have had here. There
sure.
are a lot of major acquisitions, a lot of exciting things happening behind the scenes for the Breeze before anyone sees anyone take the field. And I wanted to kind of, I guess, kind of get your thoughts on the assembly process of a team. I mean, you've been a two-year captain of Truck Stop in the past, so you were kind of involved with the, you know, let's set a framework for what our team is, what defines a team. And you know, so how do you bring together this disparate group of people? And, you know, what sort of conversations happen behind the scenes?
Yeah. Well, I think that in the Breeze's case this season, you know, it's not totally starting from scratch. It's starting from pretty close to ground level in terms of who has worn a Breeze jersey before. But a lot of the new players, myself included, are guys that have played together on Truck Stop in club for years. You know, I've played for Truck Stop for over 5 years now. And a lot of guys have been playing for longer than that or close to that. So there's like a solid core here in D.C. of really, really quality, high-level players. But also there's a lot of players on this team this season that haven't come through Truck. And like I think the starting point with your question is like really just getting people out there on a field and putting them in different situations that are going to let different strengths and weaknesses show. And, you know, I think that the more a guy can show that he can play with an array of different people, with maybe an array of different styles is good. Being able to play a variety of positions, do a number of things, like it's helpful to be a player that can then can really affect a point even if you don't touch the disc, or a player that can take over a point by touching it every other throw, just depending on what the situation calls for and kind of what the relative strengths are of who else is on the field and what the matchups are. You know, I'm starting to talk a lot. You can go down a lot of rabbit holes with how you pick a team. But the bottom line is it's a pretty exciting process.
Yeah, so tell me more about, so I think my thought process here is not that it's impossible. I think it's just challenging, and I wonder what the process is. But so how do you get, you know, this group of guys, many you mentioned are on Truck Stop, and maybe they're already coming in with, you know, oh, I know how that guy cuts, I know what his, you know, how he looks someone off, you know, how to determine to swing the disc versus, you know, oh, he's going to make a second move for me here. But how do you, you've also got guys coming in from, you know, that are first-year players on Truck Stop. You've got three guys coming in from Chicago, or I guess, I don't know if Brett Matsuka, brick and mortar is in Kansas City now.
Yeah,
but how do you ensure that the product that makes it to the field is on the same page when they get there? And is there a conversation you need to happen, or that happened on Truck Stop the years that you've captained, that say, here's how we mentally compose ourselves as a team, what defines us prior to getting on a field?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of seeking a championship. Every year you try to figure out what conversations are the best ones to have, if that's what you want. You practice a lot, and you try to figure out the best way to practice, and the best things to rep, and the best positions to put people in. So, you know, to start, I have to say, like, that's a quest and something that I think is always evolving. But, you know, I think you start by, like, strong leadership is very important. And I'm really excited about this Breeze team because of the coaching staff. You know, I'll echo what everyone has said. Like, I love working with Dutchie, and I love the experience he has. You know, a person doesn't win as many championships and have, you know, a reputation as someone people like to play for that's as strong as he does by accident. That doesn't just happen because someone rolled out of bed on the right side of bed. But also, like, I really enjoyed playing for Mike on Truck Stop last season. I think he brings...
And this is Mike Lopresti.
Mike Lopresti.
Lopresti, the new assistant coach, right?
Yep. Right. He's got just you know, Mike's really good at looking at the game without judgment and without preconceived notions.
Uh-huh.
When a group's been playing together for a really long time, that's very valuable. So I'm excited to see where he's going to fit in on this coaching staff. Sara Ito has been someone I've played with and just had as a friend for a long time, and I'm really looking forward to her perspective on things. And so you start with good leadership. You start with a leadership core that can, like, help players accentuate their strengths and understand where to put their focus, because there's so many places they could put it. And that gives clear direction and feedback. That's big. I think having an environment where people aren't afraid to make mistakes is big. An environment where you do get, you know, some license to try things out, or, you know, understand that messing up once doesn't mean you're going to mess up forever. But at the same time, that lets you know, if you go a little bit outside of things, like, there are times when you probably need to hear about it, not in a negative way, but just because just like living life with some self-discipline is important, playing ultimate with some discipline is important. So again, that's leadership, and that's also just like a positive, like uplifting, holding environment. Those are very big. And then, you know, in terms of like how you put a team together, I do think like you get a bunch of people who are really good at playing ultimate and put them together. That helps.
Yeah, and I think so. That's I think a perfect segue to say, you know, and you I think mentioned it, right? Some of the names on the back of the jerseys in some cases this year are changing on the Breeze, but you know, we're very excited about the collection of talent of the players that will call themselves Breezers this year. I think that works. Who are you excited to see? You know, is this guy going to be if we can talk about some individual players, you know, are these guys going to be top five goal scorers? Are these, you know, top assisters?
Right.
Talk about guys like Nate Castine, like Tyler Monroe. You know, are these, you know, what dimension of their game are you most excited about playing with?
Yeah.
And are these scorers? Are these throwers? And introduce some other your fellow teammates.
Yeah. I'm excited for the whole roster. You know, like you look at it and guys are, like I said, just really good at playing the game. Nate and Tyler, individually, interesting. First thing that comes to mind, they're both from Seattle, which is kind of cool. That's where I went to school from when, you know, in high school.
Is that why I picked them for you to talk about? I don't know.
Yeah, cool guys. And, you know, they grew up out there, learned to play out there, and are very solid players. You know, they're people who started playing when they were 12 or 13 years old. I think Tyler, a little bit younger even, he played from the time he was early middle school and maybe before, and I don't think Nate started that much after that.
Uh-huh.
He might have been like 8th grade, but Nate has probably the best field vision, especially as a defender on the team, and really in the league. He's truly at the elite level, and that's, you know, when you take a bunch of players that are really good anyway. But he reads the game and just understands what people's strengths and weaknesses are and how to push his matchup farther toward their weakness pretty much with every step he takes. And
so here's a guy that we're going to say is an elite defender on the team.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
the role he's going to be filling.
Yeah, Nate is not an easy person to play offense against, and everything he does just pushes you to do something more difficult than you would prefer. And he also gets blocks. You know, he's not just somebody that plays the positioning game. He gets his hands on a lot of discs and creates a lot of turnovers.
Exciting.
Yeah, he's anybody who wants to just watch somebody who's got a truly natural feel for ultimate should really hone in on Nate. And Tyler has a great feel for the game too. You know, he is now, I believe, a junior in college. Let's see, yeah, I coached him as a freshman and then I didn't coach last year. So yeah, he's a junior. And he stepped on and was playing, you know, was a starting offensive player at times last year for Truck Stop, which is just kind of rare. Like
at that age.
Yeah, that takes a field sense and just like a feel for the game that is hard to come by. Tyler's more of an offensive player than Nate.
Offensive because of his language, obviously.
If you can ever get him to talk, the dude doesn't reply to emails. Like, I'm not sure he has an email account. I'm sure Don had to like go to his college dorm room and sign him personally.
A complex series of messages delivered by owls.
Yeah. So if you can get him to speak, you know, I guess so. But yeah, more of an O guy. Really like deceptively big, and then you know, you kind of realize you stand by him and he's like, he's a big dude. He's just like kind of wide and burly, and he gets going in a hurry. He's pretty fast and you don't expect it.
Burly and gets going in a hurry.
Yeah.
It's a little slant rhyme.
Yeah, I've always wanted to be on a podcast like talking about music too, but I think I'm probably more well informed about Ultimate. But great, you know. Tyler is a very strong player, and he's young, so he's one of those guys that I'm, like, really excited about watching develop, because, like, sometimes when you get a little bit older and up there in the game, I never think you stop developing, but sometimes the rate of return, or at least just, like, things can be more subtle. With a guy as young as Tyler, the sky's the limit, and he's got so much that he's soaking up that you get to see some really rapid development, and that's exciting.
Yeah. Let me ask you this a little bit. I've seen you out there. We talked a little bit of Ultimate Peace already. But so what is your kind of pursuit towards your next level? What does your off season look like? And if there are wise words for, you know, you just, you know, hinted at the fact that you've coached a lot
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
You know, what are your tips of the trade if guys want to be sitting in your seat years from now? What are you doing with the off season, and how do you kind of keep this constant forward progression?
Yeah. Well, I went into the off season this year starting by sort of taking stock of what I've got, and I learned to throw at a young age, and also I played a lot of baseball growing up, and I don't know, and you know...
What position in baseball were you? Because Ben Fang, the most, maybe two podcasts ago, him and I got talking baseball a little bit, former shortstop Ben Fang.
I was a second baseman. So he and I could be turned into...
I'm going to see by the end of this year if I can have an entire infield of breezers.
Do you want to play first base?
So I'm a lefty.
Okay.
And I played first base growing up.
There we go.
So I could be that first baseman.
That's a lot to think of who can throw at third so we can turn a triple play. But point is, like, I like throwing things. And throwing's always been a strength for me. And understanding the game, like, I don't think I've got the highest ultimate IQ on this team by far, but that's certainly somewhere that I do okay. My big thing this offseason was wanting to build more power, become a more explosive player. I generally am pretty fit. Like, I don't not work out, but I've sought out a lot of information on how to make myself more explosive, and a lot of that has to do with building core and hip stability and strength on top of the lifting that I've already been doing for a while to make myself more powerful. So I'm in the gym 3 or 4 times a week and working with Mortal Performance, who is working with the team. I'm really excited about that. I've been working
and
with
all the
guys.
ADL. I mean, I think they're an ADL.
Yeah,
partner.
As it should be. Tim Morrow and the crew of guys he works with, like, they know their stuff and really are just, like, forward-thinking. And Tim has elevated my game multiple times, and this is the most intensely I've worked with him. So I actually just this past week started what's going to be a 12-week lifting strength and power program that I'm very excited about, also a little sore from, but yeah, so that's big for me. And you asked about, you know, younger players, and I think that my biggest advice is to be intentional, and to the degree that you can do so without putting pressure on yourself, think about what you're getting out of what you put into the game, and track, you know, how many throwing sessions a week are you getting in? How many times do you think you touch a disc? Like, do you have opportunities to learn about ways to fine-tune your body and put your body in a position where it's going to be, you know, reach its potential? If you're a kid listening, like, you know, what you do during your development and during the late teens and early 20s, like, is going to help set you up for success if you can start some good habits with getting into the gym and knowing how to listen to your body and take care of it. So yeah, I think paying a little bit of attention to what you're doing and why, and seizing the opportunity to learn about how to do it better and being open to that, is a huge part of maximizing what you can do with this sport.
Yeah, I think those are good and interesting tips for folks that are still developing, as we all are, I guess, in our games. So I'm about ready to sign off here. I want to quick thank the Breeze sponsor for 2016. That includes Papa John's Pizza, Big Board, WAFSI, which is Washington Area Frisbee Club, Waveborn Sunglasses, Atlas Brewery, Oak Creek Apparel, and then a new sponsor we have this year, the Rose Physical Therapy Group.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank all of them for making this podcast as well as our entire season possible. And one last thing I'd like to do before we sign off is just, you know, you've got the floor. You can say whatever you want. If there's something ultimate related that we didn't touch on, if there's something pertinent in your life that I just can't walk away from this conversation without letting the world know, is there a hot button issue or otherwise that you want to have the floor here for a minute on?
I'm not going to take an on-the-record take on the 2016 presidential elections yet.
Okay.
If that's what you're looking for.
You got me. I think I was Tom Brady-ing you.
Yeah. No. Okay. Yeah.
You've got a lot of leeway right now.
Wow. Yeah. On a real note, get your credit checked.
there it is.
Yeah.
Grooming tips and credit checks.
And call and go online. I forget the website right now, but like, you can put a freeze on your credit to where if they try to open a credit card in your name without you knowing, like, they have to give you a phone call. And I say all this because I unfortunately just found out some information about having my own identity stolen and a credit card being opened in my name without me having known about it.
There was someone in Southern Arkansas that was going by Jonathan Neely.
Yeah. If only. However, you know, that'll all be fine. That's a personal matter, but I don't mind using it to tell people, like, there's nothing to lose in that situation, and you could really be protecting yourself. So do that so you can get out and play more Ultimate and worry less about, you know, the long-term future.
Wow. So that was a really good use of the time that I gave you, and I'm glad that I did.
I'm just trying to pass on powerful lessons to some other people.
Yeah, so I think here on Hot Air this week, we've learned a ton about Ultimate. We learned a ton about personal life, good decisions, and good financial hygiene.
Good credit.
Good credit.
It's important.
Yeah, important themes represented here. The goal right now is to have probably one or so of these Hot Air podcasts every month of the off season before we get back in to the season, regular games over at Gallaudet University, and it's going to be an exciting time. So I thank you again, Mr. Neely. And we'll be seeing a lot more of you this year, I think. Not only on the podcast, but in person when you come out to Gallaudet University.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Greg. This was a whole lot of fun, and I'm definitely looking forward to chatting with you more in the future.
Cool. Adios, folks. Tune into the next episode of Hot Air. Hey, it's Greg again. It's been a long off season here at Hot Air, and so I'm just shaking off a little bit of rust. A couple things I forgot to mention this week. First one, that great intro music by our friends Brooke Royal, house band of the DC Breeze, always willing to provide that, so big shout out to them. And then the second thing, follow us on Twitter at the DC Breeze, and feel free if you've got ideas for my future guests, what players you want to hear from, what non-players in the DC area might have an interesting take on AUDL statistics, or otherwise. I'm looking to get a little bit into some predictions on the season and who's going to be putting up the numbers for the Breeze this year. So you can either find me at the DC Breeze at Twitter or at the Greg Esser.